Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Chapter 2 in the 12th verse, it says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Oh, that's good, isn't it? Aren't you glad he forgave you of all trespasses? "Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." I like that. And here's one of the best parts. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." I like that. He made a show of them, didn't he? Colossians 2:15, the Amplified says, "God disarmed the principalities and powers that were raged against us and made a bold display and a public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross." Isn't that good? He made a bold display and a public example of them. I thought I'd throw in there the Message version, which is pretty interesting too. It says in Colossians, the second chapter in the 15th verse, he says, "He stripped all these spiritual tyrants in the universe of their shame authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets." Isn't that good? He marched them naked through the streets. Boy, that talks about that makes you think that he embarrassed the devil, doesn't it? And he did. He embarrassed him, praise the Lord. Why is this important? Why is it important to celebrate Resurrection Day? Well, most people die and they do not come back. You know, you look at Muhammad, founder of the Islam religion, he died and did not come back. You look at Nepal Lumbini, which is well known as Buddha, the founder of the religion of Buddhism, he died and did not come back. Ronald Hubbard, the founder of the Church of Scientology, died and did not come back. Gerald Gardner, the founder of Wicca, the Wicca religion, died and did not come back. These people were just martyrs for their cults. They did not have the power to come back. But there is a man. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man, and he did come back from the dead. And his name is above all names, and he's at the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, praise the Lord. So did Jesus embarrass the devil? Yes, he did. Praise the Lord. He embarrassed him. He made a fool of him. Praise the Lord. How did he do it? Let's look at how he did it. The devil did not know God's plan with Jesus. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, real quick. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He says, "How about we speak wisdom among the perfect, ye not the wisdom of the world, nor the princesses of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom and a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the principalities or princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, or even have entered into the heart of men the things which God had prepared for them that love him." So it's important to know that the devil had no idea what God was up to with Jesus. Isn't that interesting? You know, and he may not have any idea what's going on with you. You know, God has a plan with you, doesn't he? And the devil doesn't, he may not have any idea what's going to happen, you know, so he gets scared of even seeing a Christian or a newborn baby. That's why he wants to abort every baby that comes into this world. He doesn't know what kind of effect that baby can have on this world, you know. And you think about that, Jesus, he's already humiliated him, and now he's afraid that it could happen again. Let's look at another way that Jesus humiliated the devil. The devil did not know that Jesus was going to take away his keys, making heaven available to everyone who believes in him. Let's look at Revelations 1:18. Revelations 1:18 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." You see, the keys that Jesus has was able to release anyone who believes in him from death or hell. Think about that. If you died today, are you needing Jesus to keep you from going to hell? Hell is a real place. If you don't know Jesus, you could go there. Jesus tells a story of a man in hell. Let's look at Luke 16 real quick. Luke 16. Give you just a minute to get over there. Now, this is a gentleman that actually was in hell. "At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores." The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw at Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, and Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come also to this place of torment." So what do we know about hell? Well, it's a place where it's so hot that you would just love to have water on the tip of your tongue. It's a bad place. It's also a place that he said that he wanted to warn his family not to come there. It's so bad he wanted to warn them that they didn't want to come there. You know, I wouldn't want anybody to go to hell. You know, I'm going to give them opportunity to pray at the end of this message, you know, but Jesus paid the price, so you didn't have to go there. A place of eternal torment. Oh, sounds like a terrible place. So hot that you would just want water to cool the tip of your tongue. It's a real place. Also, the devil did not know that Jesus would go into a real holy of holies, offer himself for sin. Let's look over at Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We're looking at things that Jesus did to humiliate the devil. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And we're going to go on down to the 24th verse. Hebrews 9 and the 24th verse, it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." Excuse me there. "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So he went into the holiest of holies, and he offered himself for our sins. Isn't that awesome? He was slain, and he went to offer himself for sins. That's why he rose again. And so he could go into the real holy of holies and take our place and offer himself for sin, because he was without spot or wrinkle. You know, he was the sacrifice without sin. And, you know, because he did that, he's wiped out sin for us. Let's look over at Acts 10, the 10th chapter and 43rd verse. It says, "To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins." That's interesting, that word remission. If you look it up in the Strong's, it means pardon. He pardoned our sins when he did that. Oh, it's so good to know Jesus pardoned our sins. Praise the Lord. He's pardoned the sins of the whole world. If you look at the first chapter of John, in 1 John, and you think about, you know, the Bible says that he loves the world. He didn't just love the Christians. He loves everybody. But, you know, if you want your sins to be forgiven, you have to receive Jesus to be able to have that pardon for your sins. Praise the Lord. And be able to go to heaven and get the blessings that he has paid for through going to the cross. You received a full pardon today from your sin if you accept Jesus as Lord of your life. How else did he embarrass the enemy? Well, he did not know Jesus would give us authority over Satan. We are able to be saved now and are adopted into the family. Let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. It says, we're going to the fifth verse. He says, "And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Isn't that good? Because Jesus went to the cross and he rose again. We're accepted in the beloved. We're adopted children, is what it says there in that verse. That's good, isn't it? Look over at Galatians 4. Galatians 4. The fourth verse, he says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I like that. I love my father, praise the Lord. Just to hear that makes me get excited on the inside to know that, you know, he made himself our father. You know, there's people without fathers today, you know, and it's wonderful to know that we have a heavenly father, Lord, and he's there to help you in every situation. Boy, it's exciting to know he's on my side and he's there to help me, especially in these times that we're dealing with, you know that we have a father that wants to help us and take care of us. Praise the Lord. Now that you're adopted son, you have been given authority over the devil. Let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. The first chapter. In the 19th verse, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Oh, that's good. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 2:6, if you go on down there, I've got the amplified version. It kind of amplifies it for us there a little bit. It says, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of his power in Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So it's important to know that we're seated with Jesus. You say, well, how are we seated with Jesus? Well, he's talking about your authority. He says that you're seated with him far above all principalities and powers. And so he's telling you that's your authority. Your authority is over the enemy. Isn't that good to think about that? Our position now, and we have authority over Satan since Jesus went to the cross. So we no longer had to put up with the devil, do we? How else was he embarrassed? Well, we don't have to put up with him. That's pretty embarrassing. He was ruling and reigning over us, but now we don't have to put up with him. James 4:7 in the King James Version says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7 says, so let God work his will in you. I like this. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Isn't that good? That's the message version. So we can resist the enemy. We don't have to put up with him anymore. Amen. And that was my message for you today. I kind of had a short one today. And we're going to go ahead and take communion. If you would, go ahead and get your cracker or your juice and get ready there. We'll go ahead and take communion today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm getting mine ready right now. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid it all on the cross, didn't he? He took care of everything for us. And so this is a wonderful day to think about when he was resurrected and he's now sitting by the right hand of the Father. And he's got a position for you there. Isn't that good? Because you're adopted in the family. Now, if you're not adopted in the family, we're going to pray for you first before we take communion. And I want you to repeat this after me. Now, first of all, you need to believe God has raised Jesus from the dead. So if you believe that, pray this after me. Say this after me. God, I believe you raised Jesus.
If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offering, go to JeremiahSmithMinistries.com.
Welcome to the family of God.